Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows and read reviews online at wcbe.org.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This is Cinema Classics.
Yeah, it is.
Cinema Classic guy just died.
Oh.
Miloš Forman.
A great Czech
I say
director.
Miloš.
And
do,
I
you,
say,
do you say Miloš?
I would criticize you.
Or do you,
you
say
kidding?
Miloš?
I say Miloš, but uh-huh. but then I'm here.
Right. You're okay. In America.
I am, yeah. So what's this
or
great film?
Or do you
film?
Mean across from me?
Give me a name of a film.
Well, the one that we're talking about today, interestingly enough, we were already planning on talking about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You can't beat us.
And here it turns out Miloš Forman dies.
Yeah, yeah.
The well, day before we're set
top.
To record about this.
You know, it could
do
be.
Do you think we could be responsible?
Well, you think he heard that we're.
Yeah, he wanted to crop out before he
how many
heard
other,
what we were going to do.
How many other careers we've destroyed in
oh
our
God.
Discussion. But he's also done Amadeus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most people know that.
The People versus Larry Flint, The Man in the Moon, films usually about one outsider who is coming hard up against the establishment or some sort of bureaucracy that they're trying to, you know... rise above.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest remains the greatest example of this. Interestingly enough, I was just reviewing this movie a couple of days ago. I didn't get through it all the way again, but it's one of my favorite films.
Sure.
And I haven't seen it in, you know, probably 10, 15 years. So
right.
It's always a great experience when you're a little bit older, you're a little bit wiser. To revisit some of these classic films, and this is one that I highly recommend going back and looking at.
Well, look at it. It shares a singular distinction with two other films that won all five major categories of Oscars.
Yeah.
It Happened One Night, a favorite of mine, Silence of the Lambs, mm-hmm. and this one are the yeah. only three that have ever done that. So you're in good company.
Yeah, it's an astonishing movie, and, you know, it's a really dark film. As soon as it opens, you get this sense of, like, dampness. You know, the landscape is damp. It's got that overcast feeling. Not one time does the sun come breaking through the clouds in any of it. And then for the most part, it takes place in the fluorescent hum of a psych ward.
Yeah.
You know?
And Forman himself lived there for a while just to get the feel of it.
Oh, my God,
yeah,
did he?
At the Oregon, let me get that straight.
the
Oregon State Hospital.
Okay.
Forman lived there. For a while to get the feel of it.
Yeah.
Of course, Jack Nicholson didn't need to live anywhere there
right.
to play.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, of course, at that point, at the top of his game in the 70s, you know, based on the Ken Casey novel.
Yeah.
So the premise basically is Nicholson is R.P. McMurphy. He's a con, and he has sort of been feigning mental illness in order to get out of his work duty at prison.
Yeah, so for which he was in for statutory rape.
Right. That's right. He's not a great character. He's not supposed to be a morally upright character.
He isn't.
So he comes to this mental hospital because he thinks it's going to be a piece of cake. And it turns out not to be because he runs right up against the bureaucracy of Nurse Ratched, the soul-crushing bureaucracy of Nurse Ratched. Now, much has been said over the years of the movie being somewhat misogynist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of Nurse Ratched and because of all the men that are in the ward. It's all men. And they all suffer some degree of, you know, craziness. And it's interesting. That whole cast is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they had to look long and hard to find a tall Indian. And they finally got the guy who was terrific.
Will Sampson.
Yes, right.
And he's great.
He is great. And when Nicholson...
You say Native American, by the way.
When Nicholson...
So, you know, you don't want to get a flood of a letter. You don't want to get a letter of... You know, you don't want to get a letter.
I think I can cut that out. I can.
You could, but, you know.
When Nicholson first came on the set, he said, don't these guys ever break character? They were all so good.
Well, Danny DeVito.
Oh, yes.
And... you know, when you look at it, if you don't know, if you didn't know who Danny DeVito was, you might think he had problems. He of course never breaks character, but he plays this character Martini, and he's, you know, as diminutive as you would imagine,
right?
But also just oddly kind of smiling and inward, and his face is all scrunched up, and it's astonishing to me. And there are a number of characters like that, character actors who went on, Christopher Lloyd, by the way, who went on with Danny DeVito to star in Taxi together, the TV show. They're all really great. So the movie does create this hyper-real sense of being enclosed.
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, let me add to the fact that this was filmed in sequence, except for the fishing scene. It was all filmed in sequence to reinforce the idea you gave. It was a real setting.
Yeah.
And Louise Fletcher, who does, you know, won the Oscar as well.
Right.
But I think is often overlooked for the magnificent performance.
Yes, there's not a villainous, like, twitch. There's nothing about her that's overtly villainous.
But to reinforce the idea of the craziness of both the set and the place, at one point she took off all of her clothes except for her panties to prove to people that she wasn't the cold fish that she appeared
that
to be in that role. Is that
to the cast?
Yes.
Oh God, I never heard of that.
I know, right? Isn't that?
They should have institutionalized her. That's crazy. The other thing I started to say about the accusations of misogyny, I think, you know, there may be something to that, but it does not spoil the movie or otherwise undermine its artistic accomplishment. If Nurse Ratched was a bit more overtly villainous and they caricaturized her, I think that argument might hold up more. I think the movie does stand up as a metaphor for fighting any sort of cold, institutionalized, you know, bureaucracy that wants to crush the human spirit, which, by the way, there are plenty of them.
Oh, yeah. And don't you think in the 1960s, people were well aware of the crushing bureaucracy, about the impending Vietnam War, about racism? They're all concerned about the establishment and the little guy. It's a perfect place for that.
Yeah.
There, as we always like to do, interject a little bit of frivolous detail.
Okay.
I would like to point out to you the actors who were asked to play this role before Jack Nicholson got this incredible break.
Yeah. I know who wanted the part.
Well, Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, and Steve McQueen were offered it, but also Burt Reynolds.
Interesting. Now, of those guys, if you had to pick another one to play the Nicholson part of that list, who do you pick?
Gene Hackman, flat out.
Yeah. Gene Hackman would have been great.
He has that ironic tongue-in-cheek disdain.
Although,
for
I gotta
everybody.
Admit, I would like to have seen what Brando would do.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think McQueen,
I think McQueen would have been out of his element, because McQueen wouldn't have been able to hit that that intense, you know, Nicholson does, even though you know he's playing, he seems a bit off, right? In an intense way. And I don't think McQueen would have been able to do that. McQueen was the quiet, cool guy. Brando would have been appropriately off. But you're right, I think Gene Hackman would have been good too.
Well,
anyway,
I know. And listen, before we start going really mad, let's just close off with your final assessment. Now, you and that little cinephile son of yours, Franco, have been watching this.
Well, we started watching. I started showing Vincent, and Franco was not interested, so he was playing.
So Vincent.
Vincent,
sophisticated viewer.
We only got halfway through, but I intend to finish the picture with him, because I think, you know, as I often do when I show my boys films, I think there are life lessons to be learned. Maybe they're not going to pick them up right now, but One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest certainly is a movie to take with you and carry with you your entire life.
That's right. Although you won't learn much about mental institutions.
No,
it's really
it's not
about
issues.
That. Right, exactly.
It's not about that.
It is,
you know, just like
fighting the establishment.
And if more people knew that about movies, that it's not really about what it's, you know, if it's set amongst logging workers.
That's right.
It's not about
logging.
It's
not about what it's about.
Yeah, right.